our generation is so robbed of progesterone is we were kind of told to work around the clock, eat as little as possible. Low progesterone or progesterone resistance or just general progesterone issues are a very real problem. We want progesterone to be exponentially higher than estrogen during this time. When you go to your traditional OBGYN, your gynecologist, even your reproductive doctor, and say, I think you have a luteal phase defect, they're like, no, it's not really a thing, like, it doesn't really matter. Well, this is the reason why.
Welcome back to Healthy as a Mother. I'm your co-host, Dr. Leah Gordon, and this is the show for becoming and being a mother, where Dr. Morgan and I share the natural women's health and motherhood guidance you've been looking for through a fresh, functional, and balanced lens. Today, I have the privilege to interview Sophia Pavia. She is an amazing nutritionist and fertility expert who earned her degree from Bastyr University, and she focuses on the luteal phase and progesterone in the trying to conceive space. She is the Trying to Conceive nutritionist on Instagram. She has a wealth of knowledge on all things fertility and has herself overcome luteal issues, progesterone issues, and endometriosis to have another baby. She is currently pregnant while we interview. And she's just amazing. We talk about what progesterone is, why the luteal phase is important, what causes low progesterone, why millennial women are set up for struggle here, and the things that we can do about it. It's a really rich episode, and I'm so excited to dive into this very popular topic, especially in the hormone and fertility world. Let's go. All right, Sophia, I'm so excited to have
Hello.
You back on the podcast. You are a
Happy to be
repeat
here.
guest here, and you had another episode a couple months ago, I guess. I don't even know at what
It's a
time.
year ago now.
Is it a year? Wow.
Maybe
That's
not a whole
amazing.
year, but like something like that, because it was about tracking your cycle, right? So that you can know.
No, I think we actually ended up talking about your ectopic pregnancy, even though
But
that
that's what
wasn't
it
the
was. It was like track your cycle so you can know if you're
Yes.
having an ectopic pregnancy.
That's right. You're so
Because if
right.
you're just like, sometimes I have my period and I bleed, who knows when, then
Yep.
you'll just be like, you won't know that something is like medically wrong. And if you're
Right.
paying attention, you'll be like, shouldn't be bleeding today. This is not normal. Let's get help.
Yeah, exactly. Perfect. Well, that was a great episode. So I'll link that here in the show notes. But today I'm going to have you talk about something you know a lot about, which is a topic about the luteal phase and progesterone, which I get questions about all the time. It's obviously a big passion of mine. A lot of women in my membership and who I've seen in practice have had losses. And a lot of times it is because of progesterone, not always, but many times. And it's just a big passion of mine, but you are kind of an expert in this. So,
this
can
is
you
what,
tell
yeah,
us?
this is sort of the niche in the fertility world that I have really dove down in. Oh, also, I don't know what I touched, but those of you who are watching on YouTube, I have like a brown stain on my hand. I don't know if it was like
Weird.
flowers I was picking with my kids or something
Oh,
that
that's
did
so
this,
funny.
but so,
Well,
yes, I know I have a weird stain on my hand. I don't know what it's from.
We can tell you all about it. But yeah, so can you tell us a little bit about why you ended up going down into this focus? Like what brought you
Oh,
there?
absolutely. So it mainly was just seeing the need in the population that I was working with. Like I started off as just like, hey, do you want to have a baby and you're feeling stuck? Let me help you. But there are so many reasons people can be having fertility issues. PCOS, endometriosis, hypothalamic amenorrhea. I mean, those are the big three. But then there's thyroid issues and autoimmune issues, and there's like a lot of reasons that somebody might be struggling to become pregnant, and that's just when we're looking at what could be happening within a woman, let alone what's happening with her partner. So that was great, and there are a lot of things that we can do that look, I don't care who you are, eating adequate protein, moving your body, staying hydrated, getting quality sleep. Like, it doesn't matter the diagnosis. Like, these things are going to be very impactful for your fertility no matter what. But I wanted to sort of Well, it's not even that I wanted to like niche down more. It was more like I saw that like nobody was really focusing specifically on this. Mm-hmm. And this low progesterone or progesterone resistance or just general progesterone issues are a very real problem that mm-hmm. happens to women of like my generation. So
yeah.
I don't know if this was like an issue for the Gen Xers, but it, for us millennials, this has been a huge issue. And
Gen X is the people older than us, right?
Yeah. Those are the people that are like in their like 50s now.
Okay. Right. Yes.
So not like our parents, not like, yeah. you know, way older than us, but people that were like, you know, in high school when we were in elementary school, like that kind of thing.
Yeah.
One generation ahead of us. I don't know if it's a big issue with them. I'm not really helping them try to get pregnant. They're in their 50s. Their right. day has come and gone. And I'm sorry like, if you're listening to this and you're trying to get pregnant and in your 50s and you feel like I just blew out your birthday candles. You're not my ideal client.
Right, right. You're not going to be working with her. But I have a thought about that. I feel sure. like it's so hard to know because we just didn't know that much about anything about yeah. women back in the day. But like my mother-in-law, which I'm sure she won't share if I or care if I share, but I know she had a miscarriage between every live baby. Mm. And it's like, that's clearly not autoimmunity, right? It's like she's getting pregnant, but then, you know, there's so many pictures and just knowing her health now, I've always wondered, especially in her case, I'm like, I wonder if it was low progesterone and if you had just had that support or if someone had understood that, would that have happened? And so I wonder how many times it does happen because even in the Gen X, I do know so many women who had miscarriages. It's just they didn't talk about it and no one really knew why. And it is curious, but I'm sure it's rampant so much more now because I'm sure you'll get into some of the reasons
for
progesterone. So, yeah, why don't we kind of dive into that? Like, why are we seeing so many progesterone issues? And I'm going to put an earmark because I don't want to forget. I'm going to ask you why the conventional world does not support this piece better.
Yeah. We'll get into that. And it's actually for good reason. You know, it's not just silliness and laziness or disbelief of women. Right. You know, there's some good reasons for this. And so, okay. So why is it that the millennials and maybe some of the elder Gen Zs are having such a time trying to get pregnant and stay pregnant? We're seeing a lot of fertility problems. We're seeing a lot of miscarriages. And of course, it's not going to be like a really simple answer. It's not going to be like, it's the seed oils or it's the 5G towers. Like it's, we don't have one single thing to blame.
Right.
Really what I see the issue being, it's that most of us were raised our formative pubescent years, we were watching like Christina Aguilera, we were watching Paris Hilton, Nicole Richie, the Olsen twins, like be as skinny as humanly possible. Mm-hmm. And we grew up with moms that were also really trying to be as skinny as possible. Mm-hmm. And, you know, in the 90s, late 80s, early 90s is when this whole like fat-free craze came out, and it was really popular to try to have zero-calorie salad dressings and fat-free cookies, fat-free yogurts, fat-free milk. Like, fat was the enemy. It was killing us all. It was giving us all heart disease and cancer, and so we needed to be eating these low-fat diets. And this was a message that we received during our formative fertility years. So from when we were like 9 years old to like 15 years old, when your cycle is really starting to form, and maybe beyond that as well, but those are really like, I consider those to be sort of like formative fertility years. Mm-hmm. And a lot of us were on these low fat diets, whether we wanted to be or not. What was being served in our home was non-fat sour cream, fat-free milk. We were having the chicken breast. We were avoiding the skin on our meat. Red meat was terrible for you, and you shouldn't be eating it at all. And so our parents trying to do what's best by us, trying to really help set us up for success, and themselves trying to be like, okay, I need to live a long time and be healthy. My dad had a heart attack at 60 years old, so I need to watch what I'm up to, gave us a lot of like fat-free foods.
Yeah.
We also saw a lot of increase in like drinking diet sodas, in having this, you can be anything, you can do anything, hustle culture, playing three sports in high school, going to college, and made double majoring, and everybody had to go to college, by the way. Mm-hmm. If you didn't go to college, you were a loser. That's what that meant about you in our generation. And which is, by the way, absolutely not true. So if you're listening to this and you didn't go to college, probably...
You're probably doing better
financially than we are, honestly, but like... No, but truthfully, like that was the message that like college is the ticket to everything. Get into a college and go to college at all costs, whether or not this is a fit for you academically, whether or not this is even interesting to you, whether or not there's even a career that you're aiming towards, doesn't matter. Go sneeze out a BA in communications, just as long as you have that degree. At all costs, it doesn't matter if you have $150,000 to show for it by the time you have this BA in communications, which is completely unmarketable, and you're going to then join the job force and be an adjuster at Geico because it's the best job you could get with this degree. And now you're extremely stressed because you have a huge financial burden. Your parents also have not cared for themselves financially, and now it is your turn to try to help them. Because they took a reverse mortgage in 2007 and went upside down in 2008.
Oh, God. Sounds like you should
go experience. Okay, I'm getting really specific about things. Basically, I'm sort of comedically trying to explain. Undernourished and overstressed for most of our teen years and 20s. Because of a lot of the messaging that we had. You have to be skinny. You have to go to college. And... now here you are in a situation where you're trying to have children and the stress has continued because a lot of those choices. You may be still battling your weight. You're maybe still getting crushed under the loans you took out back in 2005. It could be a lot of these things. And this is why our generation is so robbed of progesterone, is we were kind of told to work around the clock, eat as little as possible, and be everything to everyone. Be extremely productive, make it all happen, otherwise you're a loser.
Oh my God, I think it's such a great point that you bring up, and I talk about this a lot on the podcast about my beef with feminism, not that it's bad because there were so many beautiful things that it brought to women, but I think our generation, the millennials, did have this thing where you are going to be everything that a man is going to be, but also everything that a woman's going to be. You know, you're going to you're going to do all of the womanly things, but also all of the manly things, and you're going to hold both of them and also be the caretaker and also do all of this stuff and look fabulous while you do it. And then you throw on, you know, the environmental things that happened to our generation. Not that there weren't things that happened in the 70s and, you know, obviously World War II. And you can always go back and there's always tragedy. But just, you know, Y2K and 9/11 and the crash in the economy. I know my husband graduated from undergrad in 2009. It was like right after the crash. And, you know, trying to get a job. He was a mechanical engineer and he did end up getting a job. He was like five. There were like five in his entire department that got a job that year of the whole... like college that studied mechanical engineering. And, you know, it's just a weird, it was a weird time. And then COVID, you know, there's just so many things that don't even have to do. And I know every generation has their own unique experience of what has happened in the world and in their life and in the culture, but it is fascinating. And I love looking at history and retrospectively and culture and how things are the way that they are, because that's root cause, right? It's like, well, why do women not have progesterone? Well, let's talk about the root cause of that. It's low progesterone. Why is that low? Okay, well, it's stress. Why are they stressed? You know, and you keep going down this rabbit hole, and I just think it's super fascinating and not really a mystery once you kind of put it all on the table as to why there's so many fertility struggles today. And now a quick word from our sponsor. We've partnered with Needed to bring you this episode. Stress is something that many people can experience along the fertility journey, and it's something that influences how they handle oxidative damage. That's why supporting overall cellular health can be super valuable at any stage along the fertility journey. One product I personally love recommending is Needed's Egg Quality Support. I helped contribute to formulating this product, but even if I hadn't, I would still be confident recommending it because it's so great. It's designed to provide antioxidant and mitochondrial support with ingredients like L-carnitine, green tea extract, ALA, and PQQ. I also love pairing it with Needed's Comprehensive Prenatal and their CoQ10 for a comprehensive approach. Visit thisisneeded.com and use code HEALTHYMOTHER to save 20% off your first order. Again, visit thisisneeded.com and use code HEALTHYMOTHER to save 20%. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Okay, back to the show.
Yeah, and you know, I talked about all these different diagnoses at the beginning here: endometriosis, polycystic ovarian syndrome, hypothalamic amenorrhea. Actually, all three of those are progesterone impacted conditions. So the big reasons why women struggle to conceive, like there's unexplained infertility, of course, which is tragic and horrible and not a real diagnosis. And honestly, if that's your diagnosis, I think you probably have endometriosis. But moving on, these big three are the primary reasons why women struggle to conceive.
Right.
So what drives these diseases? A lot of different things. You know, endometriosis is a complex immune inflammation issue, but we see the endometriosis lesions becoming so much worse when there's inadequate progesterone.
Yeah.
We see progression of disease when there's inadequate progesterone. We see adequate progesterone be so therapeutic for endometriosis. Then we talk about polycystic ovarian syndrome. This is a situation where a woman is ovulating very infrequently. And so because of that, we're seeing a lot less exposure to progesterone.
Right.
And we're seeing a lot of ovarian dysfunction. So let's say a pregnancy does occur, ovulation does happen. The ovary often really struggles to make adequate progesterone because of the just crazy hormonal chemical stew that the PCOS ovary is enduring as a part of that disease process. And then we see same but almost opposite with hypothalamic amenorrhea. This is somebody that's hormone levels are so low that she's not ovulating at all. So we're seeing no progesterone production for this gal and a really detrimental effects in all three. So in specializing in progesterone, in helping women make adequate progesterone so that they can get pregnant, stay pregnant, and have a healthy baby, I'm serving the gals that are in really all three of the biggest fertility struggle categories, the three right. big diagnoses that keep women from being able to get pregnant as quickly as they want to.
Yeah, I love that. For people who don't know, who are kind of new to this, can you just walk us through quickly the biology cues? You've mentioned a few times the presence of ovulation or irregular ovulation and how that impacts progesterone, because where does progesterone come from?
Okay, yeah, totally. So we have a few different places in our body that can make progesterone. Our brains make an itty-bitty bit. Our adrenal glands make an itty-bitty bit. But really the main place where you're going to get almost all of your progesterone is from the ovary. So when you ovulate, the place on your ovary where the egg that you just ovulated was living before you ovulated becomes a totally new organ called a corpus luteum, which is just Latin for yellow. It's just a yellow body, which sounds so gross, right? Corpse, luteum, yellow. This sounds very, like very gross.
Body or something.
Right? I know. It sounds like a yellow corpse. Like, that's disgusting. So, anyway.
It kind of is.
That's
in a
what
way,
it's but... called. So, enjoy that. But that's when you go into your luteal phase, right? So the dominant hormone at that part in your cycle post-ovulatory is progesterone. And the only way you're going to make all this progesterone is if you ovulated. So you have to ovulate in order to make all this progesterone. And then we need the ovary to have adequate nutrients, adequate blood flow. We need your nervous system in line so that this corpus luteum can make enough progesterone for a pregnancy to begin and continue. And if you do get pregnant, praise the Lord, it is that corpus luteum that is going to sustain that pregnancy for the first few weeks until the placenta takes over and starts making all the progesterone that your baby needs. Mm-hmm. So it's very, very important. And that is the main way we make progesterone. So if you are using an IUD that's keeping you from ovulating, if you're using a hormonal contraceptive, if you have polycystic ovarian syndrome or hypothalamic amenorrhea, this system is offline. It's not going. I shouldn't say that because there are women with PCOS that are so well treated that they are ovulating regularly, and hypothalamic amenorrhea is something that you can absolutely recover from.
But
bar on somebody who has really well managed situation with those diagnoses, you're not going to be ovulating regularly, and so your body is not going to have that progesterone exposure that it desperately needs. Mm-hmm. And of course, when we think about getting pregnant, it's the uterine lining, the uterus, your cervix, like all these parts that respond to progesterone that we're so focused on. But in reality, we actually have progesterone receptors in our brains, our breasts, our thyroids. We've got them all over our bodies, and we are made to be ovulating robustly, regularly. That's really what our bodies are made for. And if we're not, then we're made to have really high hormone called prolactin, which is something else. So our bodies are basically made to, like, you're either pregnant, breastfeeding, or ovulating between the ages of 15 and 55. Mm-hmm. Those 40 years are your progesterone years. That's when your body just needs to make a whole lot of this for you to be healthy, or have other hormones sort of substituting, like prolactin, will really still protect your body and do a lot of great things where you don't need as much progesterone while you're breastfeeding. And that's good and protective and should be happening. But other than that, in that situation, you need to have a whole lot of progesterone regularly in order to function as a female. That's just the way our bodies are made.
Oh, amazing. Thank you for breaking that down. I think that's super helpful for people who maybe don't know. And I feel like the term, maybe not in just the average person's life, is thrown around a lot, but we'll just throw it around for you, is unopposed estrogen. So we talk a lot about estrogen, and obviously estrogen is important, and you can speak to that a little bit, but is that a role that progesterone is playing, is helping to balance out estrogen? Or can you explain what that means when people say unopposed estrogen, or there's too much estrogen and not enough progesterone? Can you just kind of go into why that matters?
Absolutely. Ratios are so important. And that's why when somebody, you know, wants to get their hormones looked at or whatever, we can never look at a value just in a vacuum and say, okay, my estrogen is as high as it not. Well, where were you in your cycle? And what else was going on? Because, yeah, your estrogen might have been really high, and that might be really good. Like, actually, if you're getting ready to ovulate in those few days before ovulation, we want to see sky high estrogen. Mm-hmm. We want your body making tons of cervical mucus. We want to see that high up open cervix. We want your brain to be wired for sex. Like, we want this. This is healthy and good. You should be having that. But if that's happening every day, all cycle, all year, every year, now we have some issues. Mm-hmm. Because what's supposed to be happening is we have all this estrogen just soar sky high. That triggers something called luteinizing hormone, which basically means now whatever follicle was developing, your ovary pops open and an egg is available to become fertilized and make a baby. Mm-hmm. Then, like we said before, the place on the ovary where the egg used to live becomes the corpus luteum. This is the natural progression of things. And in the second half of your cycle after ovulation, we see estrogen come back down and progesterone rise significantly. We want progesterone to be exponentially higher than estrogen during this time. And that's something important to look at on your labs, because you're like, well, my progesterone was 16 and my estrogen was 10. Mm-hmm. And we're like, yeah, let's look at those units, though, because we've got nanograms and we've got picograms here, and these are very different. So we want to make sure that we're looking at the right units, because this can make a really huge difference. But you want that progesterone to be a lot higher than the estrogen during that luteal phase. Mm-hmm. Yes, the estrogen does need to fall to make that happen, but even more importantly is we need the progesterone to rise. Mm-hmm. And when we are seeing unopposed estrogen, like what you mentioned, this is where things that can make a lot of complications begin. This is where we see things like in somebody with PCOS, we're seeing the endometrium, which is the inner lining of your uterus, grow and grow and grow and grow, because your body's perpetually attempting to ovulate and never actually popping off a dominant follicle. So we see what's called endometrial hyperplasia, a huge thick uterine lining that never gets treated with progesterone, and issues arising therein. Mm-hmm. When we see somebody with endometriosis, progesterone really is anti-inflammatory, brings down some of that inflammation that's driving the endometriosis. We see the lesions of endometriosis behave so differently in the presence of adequate progesterone, even though often these tissues are progesterone resistant. When there is enough progesterone, we see less progression of disease, a lot less pain, and improved fertility. Mm-hmm. And then with hypothalamic amenorrhea, again, the big reasons women struggle to conceive, we see low everything. Not enough estrogen, not enough progesterone. We're looking at this uterus that's essentially looking like it's in menopause. It's just looking really, really dry and tired and small. And that's the opposite of what we want. We want big energy down there when we're trying to conceive. Or even if, the thing about this too is it's like, even if you never wanted to have a kid, or even if your family is complete, you had your kids in your 20s, your family is beautiful, you are not interested in growing it, and here you are in your 30s, maybe into your 40s, why should you care about progesterone? Well, your body still needs to function, even if you aren't trying to make another baby. This is all very important part of your hormonal function for your whole body.
Yeah, yeah. And even like breast cancer and other things that can come from this unopposed estrogen, it's not even just about fertility, but now about, you know, just having balance. We're meant to have this, right? This was the plan of how our bodies are supposed to function. And when they are not functioning in that optimal way, like, things are less than ideal, right? Can you then, okay, people have asked me this question too. Can you have a weak ovulation or a strong ovulation, or is an ovulation an ovulation? Is it like,
oh, great question. So there are so many variations on normal, and then there, of course, are variations that aren't very normal. And, you know, you don't need every single cycle to have an extremely robust ovulation. You are a woman, not a robot, not a factory equipment assembly line. Like, it is normal to have some cycles where things are just a little weird, or maybe the egg didn't really make it, or whatever. Like, this is a part of being a human being who's alive. Just like it's not normal to be sick, but it's normal to get sick a few times a year, to have some colds, maybe a flu. It's not normal to be injured, but it's normal to get injured. We all get cuts and burns, bruises, scrapes and sprains. Like, this is a normal part of a functioning body, and having these minor illnesses and minor injuries and everything like that, it's actually a part of staying healthy and being well. So it's normal to do that. We see if something very similar happening in the ovary, where you're just, not every egg is going to be a queen. She just, that's just not the way that things go, which is part of why when we say, when you're trying to conceive, you know, if it's taking 4 or 6 months, like this, it really isn't something to sound the alarm about. This does not mean you have any diseases in and of itself. Now, if we're talking about it's been 4 to 6 months and there's abnormal bleeding, pelvic pain, hormonal migraines, okay, that these things are true symptoms that need to get investigated and you don't need to wait several months before looking into this. But if we're just talking about the fact that you're pretty sure you ovulated, but you didn't get pregnant for, you know, 4 to 6 cycles, nothing to really sound the alarm about unless there's other symptoms accompanying it. Mm-hmm. So that's sort of a roundabout way of saying there can be weak ovulation. There's something called luteinizing unruptured follicles, which is where your ovary almost ovulates, almost, and hormonally does. We see estrogen drop, progesterone rise, like all of this. Meanwhile, what happened was that the egg inside of that follicle that became the corpus luteum, she never made it out all the way. The follicle didn't fully rupture. She didn't come springing out saying, you know, it's raining men. That's what we want her to say, because we want there to be lots of sperm there in the tube for her to make a baby with. But even if, so let's say there were sperm, but she never popped out all the way, we can still see a rise in progesterone, the drop in estrogen, your body behave completely normally. The only thing we would see is when we did some imaging, we'd see that follicle doesn't look quite right. Mm-hmm. And it sometimes can result in lower progesterone levels or a shorter luteal phase or something like that. Mm-hmm. But if we're talking about not like a specific pathology like that, but just like, can a gal have a weak ovulation sometimes? Unfortunately, the answer is absolutely. Mm-hmm. We can see ovaries struggling for many reasons, and we can see low progesterone. There's like 5 different luteal phase defects. Let's see, I don't know if I can remember them all off the top of my head, but there's basically like progesterone just never really rises enough ever. Okay. Mm-hmm. Then we've got progesterone takes too long to rise. Mm-hmm. Then we've got progesterone rises, but then falls off too quickly. And then we've got, I don't know, I don't remember the other two, but yeah, there's like 5 different ways that the luteal phase can happen. So it is a luteal phase. You did ovulate, but the progesterone levels aren't doing what they need to do. So what we want to happen is for you to be so well nourished with lots of fat. That's what progesterone's made out of, cholesterol, with loads of real vitamin A, not just beta carotene. Not knocking beta carotene. It is a powerful antioxidant and you should absolutely be eating foods rich in beta carotene. But real vitamin A, real vitamin D, real cholesterol, real dietary fat. We want to see all these things in ample supply inside your body. We want you to be so rested and nourished that your body says, now's a great time for a baby. Pop off, queen. Yes. This is harvest season. We are ready. That's what we want this ovary to be saying when it's time for ovulation. And that is what is going to make your ovary inspired to produce adequate progesterone. Because we want it to sustain a pregnancy. Mm-hmm. So we want progesterone to rise soon enough to where your body says, hey, I ovulated, everybody. You paying attention? There could be a baby here, so everybody get ready. We then want it to rise to adequate levels to prepare your endometrial lining, prepare your breasts, to basically tell your whole body, there could be a baby here. And then we need it to stay high long enough for that human chorionic gonadotropin, that HCG hormone, which is what you see, what you test for when you take a home pregnancy test, for that to rise enough to tell your brain and the rest of your body, hey-o, there's a baby here. Don't do the period. Don't do it. There's a baby in here. Okay. Occupado. Yeah. You can't clean this bathroom stall right now. Somebody's in here. That's what we want your body to hear.
Amazing.
And we need progesterone to be high enough for long enough for that to happen, because truly it takes about 10 days for a baby to implant in your uterus if sperm met egg. Mm-hmm. 10 days. Some women it can happen a little sooner. Some it can happen a little later, but we're looking about, I would say, between 8 to 10 days. And that's when implantation is going to occur. So we need progesterone to stay high for at minimum those 10 days. I like to see at least 12, because 12 is when the levels are going to be high enough to detect that you have a baby in there. So it's not just like a switch flips in your body. Like, whoa, there's a baby in here. Everybody do something different. Like, as soon as the baby implants, it has to then start sending the hormone through your bloodstream, and there needs to be enough time for your body and brain and uterus to recognize somebody's in here. And so we need that progesterone to stay high for long enough, and then to continue throughout that early pregnancy.
Did you know proper hydration and mineral balance are key for hormone health, fertility, and preparing for pregnancy? This is why Dr. Morgan and I love Relight by Redmond's, the real salt people. A USA-made electrolyte powder with unrefined sea salt, over 60 trace minerals, plus bioavailable forms of potassium, calcium, and two forms of magnesium, malate and glycinate. These minerals support hormones, hydration, energy, and overall health. The best part is they taste delicious. I'm really picky about how things taste, and so you can rest assured this is Dr. Leah approved. I love lemon lime, but I know Dr. Morgan is a strawberry lemonade gal. Head to redmond.life and use code HEALTHYMOTHER to save 15% off your order of electrolytes, real sea salt, natural toothpaste, and so much more. Again, head to redmond.life and use code HEALTHYMOTHER to save 15%. Happy hydrating on your womanhood and fertility journey. I love that. That's so important. I think, you know, progestation.
Exactly. Yeah, that's exactly right.
So I have a question.
Yeah.
Do you feel that the quality of a woman's eggs impact the quality of the progesterone production, or are they completely separate?
They are absolutely linked. They are. And I would say that with a caveat that there can be reasons that there is a disconnect in that link. Mm-hmm. But almost always, and this is part of, you know, that question you said you wanted to put a pin in. Why is it that when you go to your traditional OBGYN, your gynecologist, even your reproductive doctor, and say, I think I have a luteal phase defect, they're like, oh, it's not really a thing. Like, it doesn't really matter. Well, this is the reason why. It is often a chicken or the egg scenario. Mm-hmm. Is the egg quality poor, and that's what's driving the low progesterone? Mm-hmm. Was it that there was something up with that ovary, that follicle, and so the egg that came out was just never going to be a star, and so we just don't really see adequate progesterone? And that's why we end up seeing pregnancy losses. Or is it that the egg is okay? We need the adequate progesterone in order for her to continue to be okay. Mm-hmm. And really, both can be true. The issue is when we look at straight up like data on pregnancy loss, we don't see a grand statistical difference in pregnancies that are treated with supplemental progesterone in pregnancies that aren't. Mm-hmm. We don't see a great difference in pregnancy losses, because most of the time a pregnancy loss occurs because of a chromosomal abnormality. And that means pregnancy was always going to be lost. I tell my kids, I had that episode recorded, I had an ectopic year and some change ago. And I tell my kids that baby was sick. Mm-hmm. She was never going to be able to be born. She was sick. Or I kind of tell them she got lost and she went to the wrong place. And she didn't go into my womb. And the womb is the only place I can grow a baby. Mm-hmm. And I tell them that. So this is essentially, if you want to have it explained to you like you're 3 years old, that is essentially what's happening, is an egg can just be sick. And whether it was, I mean, whatever, whether it was too much stress, whether it was environmental exposures, whether there was like radiation, whether there was all kinds of things, or just a genetic combination that's never happened before, that just the pieces just didn't fall just right. This, it happens. And unfortunately, in that situation, taking supplemental progesterone will not save that baby's life.
Right.
And that baby is just too sick to be born, unfortunately. And therein lies really the main risk of using supplemental progesterone, is if the baby is too sick to be born, oftentimes development will stop and you will have a miscarriage. The baby will be born very, very early, you know, 8 weeks, 10 weeks, you'll have this early loss. Mm-hmm. Well, if we're on progesterone, even though baby has passed, you're taking this medication that's going to keep your body pregnant. So mm-hmm. it's going to keep your body from letting this baby be born. Because really, miscarriage is birth. And so that is the main risk to using exogenous progesterone, is that it could continue a pregnancy that is no longer viable. Mm-hmm. Now, the other side of this coin is, what about those people that don't fall into this statistical category? Mm-hmm. That is very real. Just because most pregnancies that are lost are because of a chromosomal abnormality, most does not mean all.
Yeah.
And there are plenty of times where supplemental progesterone, or working on your own endogenous progesterone production, can result in a healthy pregnancy continuing that would have otherwise been lost.
Yeah.
So there is very real benefit to this. And just because we don't see a big statistical difference doesn't mean that there's no one that falls into the beneficial category.
Yeah.
This doesn't mean, I mean, even if something works 99% of the time, there's still 1% of people that this isn't happening for. And let me tell you, pregnancies aren't, 99% of pregnancies aren't lost because of chromosomal abnormalities. It's something more like 75%. Mm-hmm. So 25% of people who lose pregnancies, it can be because of that low progesterone. And supplementing your progesterone, or it's also, again, here we are, the chicken or the egg scenario, right? Or corpus luteum or egg scenario, I guess we're talking about here. Where, okay, because all the things we're going to do to impact your progesterone production and get that healthy progesterone cooking are also the things that help egg quality. Mm-hmm. So we see, we don't really have an answer. Is it that her egg quality improved and that's why progesterone was better and this pregnancy made it? Or is it that the eggs have been fine and now the ovary and the corpus luteum is so well supported that the pregnancy can continue? Right. We don't really have a cut and dry answer every time, but when we go with the traditional Western model, which I get it, I get this, there is not a statistical difference mm-hmm. between pregnancies that get the supplemental progesterone and those that don't. Mm-hmm. That's a really good reason to not prescribe a medication with risks to someone. Mm-hmm. But it's just not always the case. Mm-hmm. And though it having a missed miscarriage, which is really what happens when you take progesterone after the baby has passed, mm-hmm. while that is no day at the spa and is a devastating loss nonetheless, it is a loss, I believe, that would have occurred even if the progesterone had not been there. There's just maybe taking more time for your body to then get the message that baby has passed.
Yeah. And in those situations, like an ultrasound to see if there's still heartbeat and stuff would potentially be able to say, yes, keep going. The progesterone was supportive. You now have a healthy pregnancy. I know in my practice, I must not be dealing with the normal statistics of people, because I find that
No, we're very skewed. People that are reaching out to us to work with us are not are not all the pregnancies in the wild that we're doing when we do these like randomized studies.
I know.
We're doing just ladies that are trying to work with you and I.
If we pulled my patient database, it would feel like 75 progesterone, 25% chromosomal, in the sense that, you know, even on progesterone, even doing all the things, the loss still happens. And, you know, I've had a lot of people who've had a loss and then come to me and get support with progesterone. And we do as much as we can with lifestyle, like you've talked about. But then there is a point where, you know, they're pregnant. There's maybe some mild spotting at 6-7 weeks. We check their progesterone. It's not adequate. We give them progesterone and then they go on and have a healthy baby. And that happens a lot. And it makes me sad, because a lot of times when they do go into their OB-GYN to try to get that supplemental progesterone, if they're not in like a state I'm licensed in, they have a hard time, and that makes me sad, you know, because I feel like that should be a choice. If they know the risk of like, okay, if baby passes and I'm still on progesterone, I can get imaging and see, but they're not really given that choice. And that is one thing that frustrates me about the situation, is that I feel like the benefit maybe outweighs the risk, or at least what I've seen. Everyone can make that decision for themselves, but they should be able to make that choice, I think.
Let's take a moment to hear a word from one of our sponsors. If you are wanting to balance your hormones and support your liver, your digestion, your sleep, your overall health, whether you're preparing for pregnancy or not, you have to check out Earthly Wellness. I love herbal tinctures. When you mix different herbs together, you get a synergistic effect that's even more powerful than if you were to take the herbs alone. And you don't have to take a handful of capsules. Yet finding good blends that are effective and that actually taste good is really hard. So I was thrilled when we discovered Earthly. For hormones and detox support, I would recommend their Liver Love, their Lymphatic Drainage, and their Detox Defense tinctures. To support stress in the immune system, consider their Adaptogenic and Immune Support tincture and their Sleepy Time tincture if you are looking for support with sleep. And they also have a blend called Nourish Her Naturally, which has some of my favorite herbs, such as dandelion, red raspberry leaf, spearmint, and nettles. And it tastes delicious. They even have a magnesium cream that you can rub on your feet at night to support sleep, stress, and your hormones. Their site is incredible. They have so much to offer, and their tinctures are absolutely delicious. Many of them are in a glycerite. My kids absolutely love them. They hold their mouth open like little birdies waiting for their Earthly tinctures. It's so cute. Head to earthly.com and use code HEALTHYMOTHER to save 10% on all their different products. You will be amazed at what they have. Earthly.com and use code HEALTHYMOTHER to save 10%. Okay, now back to the show.
It's true. You're also working with a very educated, very healthy population.
Totally.
And that is just not the case for everyone that's coming into that OB-GYN's office, or that's coming into that gynecologist's office, or coming into that reproductive endocrinology office. Like, I have to remind myself of this all the time. Like, there are signs in every bathroom telling people how to wash their hands. Mm-hmm. Like, there are people out there that don't know how to wash their hands. Mm-hmm. Or just, you know, and these people are getting care at doctor's offices too. So keep in mind, your doctor has somebody like you coming in who's tracking her cycle, who's taking a quality prenatal, who's exercising, who's eating well, who's doing all these things. And then there's also the person that's like, doesn't understand that their vagina is a different hole from their urethra. They think it's all just one, I don't know, cloaca like a bird down there or something. No, but like, there's people that are struggling to survive, focused on other things, pouring their energy into other places. It could be absolutely brilliant in other things. Like, probably the people that wrote the code for this podcast platform we're using here, I couldn't do that. I couldn't do that. So I'm not going to say boo at one of them if they don't know about progesterone and all these things. And they're going to take this very real drug in a way that can harm them because they just don't know. And the doctor's like, yeah, it's a safe medication. Everybody take it. Who cares? That's not helpful. And so I do get why this is, you need a prescription for this. I get why doctors can be hesitant to just sort of give this out, because they're working with all kinds of people that have all kinds of education levels, ability levels. And let me tell you, I have worked with ladies who get their progesterone prescription and just take it every day and then say, I'm not pregnant.
Yes.
And I'm like, yeah, well, that's because you're essentially using birth control. Yes, like, totally. If you use progesterone every day, then you're never going to ovulate, my girl. Like, you know, this is not good. But their doctor just told them, you know, just read a little pamphlet and said, okay, take this. And I'm like, yeah, that's for postmenopausal women. That's not for you. Like, that's not, oh, no.
I know.
Oh, I mean, no.
Doctors too that don't necessarily.
Oh, I've said, yeah, I have seen it all.
I know. It is quite unfortunate.
They're like, just start taking it on the 14th day of the month.
Yes.
And I'm like, well, did you ovulate yet this month? I don't know. I'm like, oh, no. Or they'll even try to tell the doctor, but I usually ovulate until like the, you know, 20th day of my cycle. No. Take it on day 14. Everybody ovulates by then.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, we only have a few minutes left. So with that time, are there any quick little things that you would say are kind of your heavy hitters for people to work on to optimize their progesterone? If someone's listening to this and they're like, either something that would tell them that maybe they need to investigate their progesterone or
absolutely.
What are some of your biggest hitters? I know you've mentioned probably a lot of them in the general sense, but is there anything specific or anything you want to leave us with that?
Yes. So what is going on in your luteal phase? Okay. How long is it between a confirmed ovulation and when you bleed from your period? And is there any bleeding in between? Very, very important to note. This is going to show us how long your luteal phase is. And like we said, it needs to be at least 10 days for a baby to be able to happen. Mm-hmm. So, and really 12 days, I mean, is like the minimum, but 10 is like, if you're less than 10, the baby shop is for sure shut down. Mm-hmm. If you're less than 12, there's, you know, people that have gotten pregnant in there and it's been fine, but not ideal.
Yeah.
So that is something really important to note. And if it is less than 12 or less than 10, time to seek treatment and seek care. So you need to be paying attention, not just looking at an app and saying, oh, my period's due in 3 days and it says I ovulated on this day or whatever. You got to be tracking. You got to know when your ovulation occurred so you can know the length of your luteal phase. Because just going into the doctor, they might say, when was your last period? And you tell them, you know, my cycles are about 30 days long. And they're like, well, that's great. You're fine. Well, not if you're not ovulating until day 20 or day 22. That's actually not great, and that's not going to work. So you've got to be paying attention to that. Now, as far as treating a short luteal phase or how to support your strongest luteal phase, one of the biggest things is eating enough nutritious food and keeping your blood sugar balanced. Your ovaries are incredibly sensitive to insulin. And so if you are waking up, you know, stopping off at Starbucks on your way to work, and then maybe like having a bit of something from the break room, but your first real meal isn't until dinner, and then you're sort of like grazing until bedtime, this is a recipe for weak and sad ovaries. They need more consistent fuel than that. So eating consistently, making sure you're eating enough and really balancing your blood sugar. This is like going on short walks after meals, making sure you're having, anytime you're eating anything with carbohydrate in it, there's plenty of fiber and protein to balance that out. You're eating a lot of foods with vitamin A. So this is like your cold water fatty fish. This is like your red meat. This is bivalve shellfish. These foods are all really rich in vitamin A. And you know what? Food's rich in beta carotene too. So this is like oranges, pumpkins, sweet potato. This is anything that's bright red, any produce that's bright red, bright orange, bright yellow. Yes. We want to be having lots of those foods every day. And the other piece of it is your body needs to feel safe enough to ovulate. So this means managing your stress, learning to say no, not taking on so many projects all the time, getting adequate sleep, supporting your circadian rhythm. And you don't have to do a bunch of fancy, expensive stuff to do this. You don't need a vibration plate. Just go for a walk. Mm-hmm. You don't need a red light therapy thing. Just go gaze upon the sunset. Mm-hmm. You don't need to have a bunch of really expensive stuff. I mean, you know, you can have it if you're bougie. Don't let me mm-hmm. put you down. But don't feel like you got to go spend a couple grand on all this stuff when really just like an evening walk as the sun sets is going to do as much for you as your special red light lamp in your vibration plate.
Mm-hmm. I love that.
So managing your stress, eating adequately, tracking your cycle. Those are really the heavy hitters. And then, of course, some listeners are like, yeah, cool. I've been doing that for like 6 years and I'm still not pregnant. Well, that's why I'm here. So we can get into it in more depth and actually figure out what exactly is going on. But if you're just a gal who's looking to have a healthy cycle, these are my tips.
Amazing. How can people find you, work with you? Tell us all the things before we wrap up.
So you can find me online, TTC Nutritionist. You go to ttcnutritionist.com. You can find me on social media at TTC Nutritionist. I actually have a podcast as well called Food Freedom Fertility, and we talk about how to support your progesterone all the time on there. And if you want to work with me, SOL, guys, I'm on maternity leave. No, I'm just kidding. I will eventually come back, yeah. God willing, and start seeing clients. But I want you to understand, listener, that I too have had luteal phase defect and endometriosis, and I'm getting ready to have a beautiful, healthy baby. So this is very, very possible. Mm-hmm. Don't freak out if you listen to this and you're like, oh my God, this is my problem. I'm never going to have a baby. It's all treatable, girlfriend. We can work through this.
Oh, thank you so much for being here. You're such a wealth of knowledge. And
oh, well, my pleasure.
I always love chatting with you. So thank you.
All right. Well, thanks for listening. Hope to catch you on the other side.
Bye. If your heart aches for a baby, whether you're dreaming of motherhood someday or you're already on the path and it hasn't been going as you imagined, I want you to know that you do not have to do this alone. Consider joining me inside of my Womanhood Wellness membership. You get a custom blueprint unique to your woman essence type, which is where you are right now on the journey. You have access to all of my courses and content, which includes how to boost egg and sperm quality, the energetics of fertility, investigating fertility, optimizing IVF if that's a path you have to go down, navigating pregnancy loss. I have my Essential Foundations course where you learn all the things that you really need to know to have a thriving hormonal infertility system. You learn the hormone handbook where I dive deep into all the different hormonal imbalances and what you can do naturally to rebalance them. I have deep dive courses on vaginal microbiome, in detoxing, on mindset. I give you my natural medicine protocols. You have the ability to order labs on your own. You get discounts on supplements and other products. I have organized the community by your season. So if you are breaking up with birth control, you can jump in a chat with women in that exact same season. If you are trying to conceive, or if you are going through pregnancy loss or infertility or IVF or low libido, there is a group of women who are going through the same thing. We also have full community areas like our breakfast club, where every Monday we share what we're having for breakfast to inspire each other, and our daily flow, where we connect as a collective community and do challenges and learn from each other in that way. On top of all of that, I do a monthly live Q&A where you can bring your questions and they're always recorded so you can listen if you can't make them live. And then I have various calls with other practitioners like Sadie, our amazing personal development coach, and so many others where you will be able to receive healing and learn other perspectives. Being a member inside Womanhood Wellness also gives you discounts to join my upcoming immersions. Take around 22 women for a month to dive deep into a specific topic like decoding desire or building your dream life or navigating painful periods or navigating unexplained infertility. This is the place that you want to be if you want to know all of the natural root cause and supportive measures that you can take to optimize your womanhood journey and your path to and through motherhood. Head to womanhoodwellness.com and use code podcast to save 20% off your first month. I can't wait to see you inside. In order for others to hear this information, please leave a review with Apple Podcasts, subscribe, and share with a friend who would benefit from this content. Please remember that the views and ideas from this podcast are for informational purposes only and are not intended to be a substitute for medical care of any kind. including the diagnosis and treatment of any disease. Consult with your provider before integrating any of this information into your own healthcare plan. A healthier future starts now, and it starts with you.